America's founders said that our rights come from God, and yet many of the intellectual elites in the West, including in America in the last century or so, have abandoned belief in the Creator. One of those atheists ended up rethinking his position. He became a Christian and perhaps the single greatest Christian writer of the 20th century, C.S. Lewis. And recently acclaimed actor Max McLean, playing the older C.S. Lewis, has brought this story into a great movie. The name of the movie is The Most Reluctant Convert, The Untold Story of C.S. Lewis. Now, when the movie came out a couple of years ago, we got to speak with Max, and we'll link to that. I also wrote an article at the time. We'll link to that as well. But now the movie is going to be made available in a wider way through streaming. So we welcome back to the program Max McLean. Max, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jerry.
And just a little housekeeping here. The website for movie information about this is still cslewismovie.com. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. That's a good place. Yeah, that's a good place to go. cslewismovie.com. Yes.
Super. Okay, so why is C.S. Lewis's 100-year-old story still relevant today?
Well, I think you kind of answered that in terms of people abandoning objective truth, objective morality, belief in God. And Lewis would have counted himself among those people, as you said. And through a long process, first of all, exploring his unbelief, you know, the roots of his unbelief, because it took him back to a position where are we not merely atoms colliding in skulls? If there's no God, if it all begins with the idiocy of the universe, then you're asking me to believe that our minds come from a mindless process of physics and biochemistry at one moment and it's endless, aimless becoming. We claim our minds to be reason, perceiving universal intellectual principles, moral laws, possessing free will. But if materialism is true, our minds are nothing more than atoms colliding in skulls. We never think a thought because it's true, only because blind nature forces us to think it. We never do an act because it is right, only because blind nature forces us to do it. When Lewis came to that conclusion, he realized he just simply couldn't go there. He said it was a physical impossibility. It was like trying to scratch his ear with his big toe. He just couldn't do it.
The death of his mother was a strong blow, and that happened when he was a young man, what, about 10 years old or something? 1908?
I think he was somewhere between around 8 or 9, yes.
Okay, and this was a strong blow in part because he prayed a lot for her to get better. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, he, the loss of his mother was huge because he did pray that she would be healed. And even when she died, he prayed that she would come back to life. He did say his prayers were like that of praying to a magician. He simply wanted God to restore the status quo. And he said that when it didn't happen, he just came to the conclusion that prayer didn't work. And he said he didn't think about it again. And that's very, very interesting because, you know, some of us have a false premise, a false idea that prayer is asking for things, and if we don't get it, then this doesn't work. And it's usually the other way around. Prayer is listening. But he wasn't listening, and that was a huge blow because he loved his mother. The mother was the anchor of his life. And then all of a sudden it was, as he said, it was all islands now. You know, the great continent of Atlantis sunk, and he was kind of left on his own. And he had a terrible relation with his father. And so he really kind of was an abandoned ship.
Wow. Did the horrors of World War I impact Lewis? And if so, how?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, he experienced the butchery of it. He said he saw, men just looking like crushed beetles. You know, it was just an ugly, ugly experience all over the place. And it was so normative, you know, how war normalizes just the absolute worst of brutality and ugliness. And so, you know, when that becomes a vivid experience, you do ask yourself, does this world have any meaning? Does it have any purpose? If it allows this kind of irrationality to run rampant, what kind of world do we live in? And so that really, and he came to the conclusion that either there's no God behind the universe, a God indifferent to good and evil, or worse, an evil God.
And he wasn't, he wasn't
and
converted.
And that's where he was, that was where he was. But then, you know, a little bit later, he had another sort of epiphany that was very important to him. You know, he said his argument against God was that the universe was so cruel and unjust. And then he asked himself, well, where do I get this notion of cruel and unjust? You know, I call a line crooked because I have some idea of a straight line. What am I comparing this universe with when I call it cruel and unjust? Because if the universe has no meaning, we'd never know it has no meaning. So he recognized that, that there was some kind of, he called it the music we were born remembering. He called it joy, that there was always glimpses of that. And it pointed him to another world. He called it further out, further in.
I've got some classic quotes here from C.S. Lewis, some of which find their way in the movie, and I would like to have you comment on them. So here's one for you. In reading G.K. Chesterton, as in reading Gordon MacDonald, I did not know what I was letting myself in for. A young man who wishes to remain a sound atheist cannot be too careful of his reading, end quote. Your comments?
That's a great quote. I think it was George MacDonald, not Gordon, George MacDonald.
Oh, yeah, I knew I got something
wrong. So he in many ways, he discovered Chesterton. He said of MacDonald baptizes imagination, whereas Chesterton awakened certain parts of his brain that was completely dormant. And that's what, you know, that's why he referenced a young man who wishes to remain a sound atheist cannot be too careful of his reading, because he may read something that's going to awaken some dormant part of his very settled ideas about how the world is made up, you know, where it's atoms colliding in skulls. Or he realizes there's something further up, further in that he needs to explore. And that's what happened to Lewis.
And here's another quote. Amiable agnostics will talk cheerfully about man's search for God. To me, as I then was, they might as well have been talking about the mouse's search for the cat. Your comment.
Yeah. You know, it's the idea in Romans 1 about, Romans 3 about no one goes after God, because you know, God is a roaring lion seeking, Satan is a roaring lion. But in this case, it's the idea of amiable agnostics will drink their sherry and talk about, God in very distant terms in a way that fits their narrative that you create a God that fits nicely into your patterns of life. Whereas the God of the Bible is a consuming fire. And he is not to be dealt with. He's the one that determines. He's the one that calls the shots, that has the agenda is his. We don't negotiate with him. He tells us to put our weapons away, and then we'll talk. Because if you don't put your weapons away, he will attack, and you will not survive. It's a very vivid picture, and this is one of the things I get really concerned about when you know, there's many aspects to faith. There is the compassionate God. There's a loving God, but there is the the God who judges, the God who we are accountable to. And we have to fit both into our picture. And, Lewis didn't want to fit that, the God that, you know, he was not searching for God like a mouse would not be searching for a cat. He'd be running away.
Exactly. And here's a quote, and this is also like some of these from Surprised by Joy, which I know was the basis of much of your film, which is terrific. He said this, "That which I greatly feared had at last come upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God, and knelt and prayed, perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England," end quote.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was his conversion. Actually, that was his conversion to theism. It wasn't his conversion to Christ, but that's when he gave in to the God of the universe. You know, he had a little bit of a relationship with the God of the philosophers, but he did not have a relation. He did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the God who says, "I am that I am, I am." And that was the God who was confronting him and asking him to really change his life, to essentially repent, to look at his life, and he didn't want to do that. And finally he did. He asked God for help. He broke down. He gave in and said, you know, "I'm going to follow you." But what's really interesting about that, and it goes into the film goes into it a bit. That language of that is very Christian in the sense, in the born again sense. But in Lewis's way, his born again moment didn't come till later. What this did, it made him recognize his sinfulness. He recognized that he needed to repent. And he said that his religion was like that of the Jews. It wasn't until later, when he was confronted with Jesus, that he finally gave in. The Holy Spirit came in and he admitted that God is, he admitted that, it was on the road to Whipsnade Zoo. He said, "When I set out, I did not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When we reached the zoo, I did." It was like a man who been long asleep was now aware he is now awake. Yeah. And it's interesting. The Whipsnade Zoo moment happened probably about a year or so after the "I gave in" moment.
That is fascinating. He described himself as kicking, struggling, resentful. But he said this, "I did not then see what is now the most shining and obvious thing, the divine humility, which will accept a convert even on such terms." Max, we have about 1 minute left. What else do you want to say? Just go ahead and talk about the film. It's a wonderful piece of art and a film that all of Christendom can get around and say, "Hey, go see this, even if you don't believe."
Well, that's the film is C.S. Lewis looking back on his early life, with 15 actors in the film, 3 actors playing Lewis. Lewis is a young man. Lewis is a boy. Lewis is a young man, and an older Lewis looking back on the events that led to his conversion to Christ.
And it's a really wonderful movie. I would recommend it to anybody. It's CSLewisMovie.com. Where is it available through the streaming? Well, obviously, people can find out more information.
Sony PureFlix is available now. Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Those are the two primary ones. Yeah.
Oh, that's super.
Apple TV as well.
Oh, congratulations. Thank you so much for doing this. All the best.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you again.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye now.